You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
By the millions and at every age level, people today are searching for meaning in life. Jesus said, "I am the life."
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. The International Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Wallace Schultz, Associate Lutheran Hour Speaker. It is our prayer that it will bring hope and joy to your life.
Almighty God, we are indeed unworthy to come before Thee. Our sinful thoughts, our self-centered actions, and our careless words make us unqualified to be in Thy holy presence. For our salvation, O Lord, we trust in the sin-cleansing blood of Thy Son. Relieve our guilty consciences, calm our troubled hearts. Through Thy Son, give meaning to our lives and grant us the certain hope of the resurrection from the dead. In Jesus' precious name we pray, amen. Under the direction of a professor from the University of California, the 14th annual survey of first-year college students revealed that current college freshmen are more materialistic than any other entering class in recent years. Two-thirds of the 290,000 responding students stated that it was very important for them to be well off financially. These students may be very sincere about their hopes for their future. However, after listening to the surprising comments expressed by various wealthy people, it is highly doubtful that very many, if any, of today's college freshmen will eventually find true happiness in riches. 1 year ago, Time magazine featured a lengthy essay entitled, "The Sad Truth About Big Spenders." This article discussed the lives of numerous wealthy individuals. Finally, the question was asked, "But what do these come to?" The answer was, after the big house and the big garden and the big animals, parties, and people, the big spenders are bored. They are rich, and sometimes they even have money to burn, but they are bored to death. This is especially true for ones who became wealthy overnight. They were surprised and disappointed to learn that their money was unable to buy the happiness, the meaning, and the fulfillment they so strongly desired. The author of the essay describing the big spenders was speaking primarily about the very, very rich. But the dilemma of possessing material goods and yet feeling unhappy and unfulfilled is common in our generation. You and I may convince ourselves that we are not wealthy, but the fact is we are super wealthy in comparison to the millions of people now living in many of the poor nations. Most of you listening to this message are neither famous nor are you millionaires, but you do have a place to sleep, food to eat, and clothes to wear. And yet you realize that neither your possessions nor your money can bring you perfect happiness. At one time, you may have thought differently. You may have concluded that as soon as you had your first car, you would then be truly happy. All your concerns would vanish. You finally got the car, but you remained unfulfilled and then decided that all you needed was a house. After getting situated in your own home and learning you were still not happy, you may have been convinced that a large bank account would do the trick. After that, there was the need for a special vacation and a change in jobs, and so on and so forth. You have accumulated many things, but your heart has never been truly satisfied. Even at this moment, you may be convinced that there has to be more in life than you are now experiencing. The anxiety of the human soul and the inability of material possessions to satisfy this need is not new to our generation. In the Bible, in the Gospel of Matthew, we read that as Jesus looked out upon the crowds which followed him, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and downcast, like sheep without a shepherd. Indeed, many who followed Jesus were sick. They were in need of his special power of healing. Others were possessed by demons, and Jesus had the power to cast out evil spirits. But the majority of those who followed the Messiah were like many people today. They were not sick. They were just simply tired of life itself. They were tired of all of the hassles. They were searching for something or someone to provide meaning for their lives. And the Savior understood this. That is why Jesus stood up and cried out, "If any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink." The thirst Jesus spoke of is a deep spiritual need of the soul to be satisfied. Many of you listening today may be unfamiliar with the true blessings of the Christian faith. And as a result, the simple invitation Jesus is extending to you may seem ridiculous. Finding meaning in your life by getting to know the Christ of the Bible may sound simplistic and even downright absurd. Stories abound of missionaries who many years ago offered pills and other medicines to skeptic natives. The local people found it difficult to believe that small pills and other unusual tasting substances could heal them physically. Some refused. Others accepted the medicine and were gradually restored to health. Frequently, healing did not take place in a minute, in an hour, or even overnight. But the ailing did get well, and the sick people soon felt a new power surging through their veins. Experiencing new life and spiritual healing in Jesus Christ frequently occurs in somewhat the same way. It is more gradual than instantaneous. The more you learn of the Savior from the Holy Scriptures, and the better you know Him through prayer and worship, the happier and more fulfilled each day will become. The more you imitate Jesus Christ by serving others, the more fulfilled your life will be. Some of your problems may never totally disappear. And yet, in the midst of your daily frustrations and challenges, with the knowledge of ultimate victory, you will be enabled to say with St. Paul, "I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am." This is not a brief message in positive thinking. This radio address is not my philosophy of life or what I might be able to do for you. No, trust in no man. Follow no cultic leader. Place your hope alone in the divine promises of the Holy Scriptures. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9 we read that God can give you everything you need. He does this so that you may always have sufficient, both for yourselves and for giving away to other people. In recent years, a growing segment of our society has been turned off by certain questionable methods of presenting the Christian faith. Some radio and television personalities give the impression that as soon as anyone makes a commitment to Jesus Christ, all of life will automatically become beautiful and all problems will disappear. This is an outright fraud. Jesus himself reminds us in the Gospel of John, chapter 16, that in this world ye shall have tribulation. But then he adds this promise, "Take heart," Jesus said, "I have overcome the world." When anyone becomes a Christian, their problems do not automatically disappear. In fact, sometimes they may even get worse. But Christians born again of water and of the Spirit can live with the confidence that through their new spiritual union with their Savior, they will receive the strength necessary to overcome all trials and obstacles. During his public ministry in Palestine, Jesus looked out upon the crowds and had compassion on them. He understood that they were worried about their everyday problems in life. Jesus knew many possessed no hope for life after death. And still today, from his position of majesty at the right hand of the Father, Jesus sees and understands your entire life. He is even aware of your most secret thoughts. As a result, the Savior has compassion for you, love for you, and for whatever difficulties you may now be experiencing. He is asking you to come to Him for a cleansed conscience, a strengthened back, and a renewed heart. No, don't expect everything to turn immediately rosy. As a guideline in your life, look at one dramatic example in the Bible. When the relatives of Lazarus asked Jesus to heal Lazarus, the Savior did not immediately jump to their wishes. Instead of acting at once, Jesus tarried for a while. As a result, sick Lazarus died. His relatives were upset at the Savior. But in the end, to the surprise of those who watched, Lazarus was raised from the dead. Only later did the people understand that God works in His own time and in His own way. In our society, there is incredible pressure to find meaning in life through means other than what God has prescribed. Advertisers on television attempt to show us what we must have in order to be happy. Authors of self-help books, each spinning their own yarn, their own philosophy, themselves become rich by telling others how to be happy. Weekly magazines featuring famous people regularly whet the appetites and increase the anxiety of those who seek happiness through fame. In most of these situations, the prescribed paths to happiness are actually dead-end streets. The actor, known as Luke Skywalker to fans of Star Wars and The Empire Strikes Back, reached his goal in life before he was 30. He starred in a movie which was nominated for an Oscar. He made $1 million, and he appeared on Broadway. Yet, he has publicly confessed that he is not satisfied. He stated, "Having done all that, it is not what you imagined." Already centuries ago, Jesus cautioned, life does not consist in the abundance of things one possesses. Real meaning in life is never measured by the quantity of possessions we accumulate, the amount of money we have, or the fame we may enjoy. To have life in all of its fullness means to be united with Jesus Christ, the author of all of life. At one time in the Garden of Eden, there was a perfect relationship between God and man. Adam and Eve were perfectly happy and totally fulfilled. But everything was ruined by the fall into sin. The anxiety and unhappiness you and I now experience within our souls exist because our relationship to God is not what He intended it to be. But there is good news recorded in the Bible, Colossians chapter 1. We read that it was the Heavenly Father's good pleasure through His Son Jesus to reconcile all things to Himself. Yes, it was God's gracious desire to make things right again, to restore a relationship between Himself and you and me. Even though you and I were enemies of God because of our rebellion, the Holy Scriptures proclaim that God made peace through the blood of His cross. Jesus Christ paid the price God demanded for our wrongs. He suffered in our place. He died the death we deserve. This may be the first time you have heard the good news as it is explained clearly in the Bible. Listen as I read directly from the Holy Scriptures. You yourselves were strangers to God. In fact, through the evil things you had done, you were His spiritual enemies. He has now reconciled you through the death of His body on the cross, so that He might welcome you to His presence, clean and pure, without blame or reproach. At the beginning of His ministry, Jesus was taken by the devil to a high mountain. Satan showed Jesus all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. Then the devil said to Jesus, "All these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me." Jesus refused to be deceived by the father of evil. The prince of this world, the father of lies, the devil, may now also be trying to trick you. He may be promising you happiness in life through more money or more possessions. Follow your Savior's example. Say, "Be gone, Satan." Then let God and his angels minister unto you. Live with the knowledge and the assurance that God will provide your every need. Do not give your heart over to material possessions. Let your heavenly Father draw you to the warm love of his Son Jesus. Live each day with the knowledge that you are forgiven. Trust in the sin-pardoning blood of Jesus, and you will be bound for heaven. In your hours of blues and days of distress, be assured that Jesus has compassion on you. He loves you, and he is your shepherd. Live in his love and grace. Then goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life, and you shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.